you. We ask you, Almighty God, to open the eyes of our understanding. Lord God, let everything else in this world be shut out, but let your word and your words alone come forth. Father, we pray it be from your holy word, Lord. We ask you, Almighty God, that we be found worthy to bring forth the truths. Let them accomplish the purpose for which you've sent them to your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So just remember, Bethy, yes. If you're standing on the left, if it blows, don't get any on you. My temple. Because I like that. Yeah, maybe you should stand over here.
Stretch your hands this way and pray for your pastor. Obviously, my prayers didn't work, so let's do the unity of the believers.
Sorry, I had
Paul,
a visual.
Pray.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our pastor, our friend, your son. We come against this attack upon his mortal body, and we speak life and health and strength to it. We come against the work of the enemy that would try to hinder this word that you have brought forth this night. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, for the endurance to go around and through all that is set before him, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will not blow a blood vessel tonight. Maybe tomorrow, but not tonight. Praise the Lord. Faith to endure.
Amen.
Going around or through. Amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus.
Amen. How many soldiers do you know that don't endure hardship? So recently I caught the testimony of the gentleman who won. I never watched the show because I absolutely cannot get past the name of it. And I can't, just like this, I hate this. If you ever do this around me, I'll probably make a stupid face or I'll glance away from you because I think it is horrible. But anyway, that's just a me thing. But the name of the show...
Not LSU.
No.
Sorry. It's the only day I'll do that, I promise.
People are not losers. So they're just not. I don't care who you are, people are not losers in my eyes. This is my the Mary Poppins side of me. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a past. Nobody was born and said, I think I'm just going to become a loser in my life. Things happen. Stuff happens. Everybody deserves grace, love, forgiveness,
Amen.
Redemption. But that's me. That's your pastor's wife. But anyway, there's this show called The Biggest Loser, and because of the name of it, I never watch it. Because I don't care what it's about, I just can't get past the name. But anyway, I happen to have caught part of the man's testimony that apparently won this contest, and he's a Christian. And so because he's a Christian, it caught my attention what he had to say. And he had some things to say that were really, really interesting as I listened to his testimony. And he was caught in this trap. And he had coping skills that weren't good. Food was one of them. Gambling was another one of them. But pressures in life, and he didn't know how to handle the pressures in life. And so he developed these bad coping skills, like many people do throughout our lives. And this one began to catch up with him. He was 460 pounds, I think. And obviously, he was running out of time. Not only was there the physical weight in his life that he had gained through these bad coping skills, but there was also a lot of debt through gambling and this, that, and the other thing. And he said something. He says, you know, he said, I feel like I was just chasing my losses. I just spent my time. I could never kind of get out in front of things. And he had turned on this program. And it was actually one day, it was a Joyce Meyer's program. And what she had to say had just had this really profound change in his life. This really profound, she said something, and it was really, really good for him. And it helped to motivate him to not any longer feel like he's just chasing after his losses, but how to try to get in front of his life. How to get through this thing that had captured him, caught him, was weighing him down. And so it was really a tremendous testimony. And one of the biggest parts of what he was talking about was getting through things that God wants us to get through. You know, sometimes God has us to get around things, and sometimes God takes us through things. And we're going to talk about, you know, whether God has you going around something in faith, whether he has you going through something in faith. Like we talked about Sunday, one of the things that we have to pursue is endurance. In order to go around something in the strength of God and in the faith of God, or whether we have to go through something in the strength of God, we have to have faith to be able to endure.
Endure. Endurance. Look, sometimes like Enoch, I mean, I think everybody wants an Enoch experience. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Praise the Lord. How many of those did you read about in the Word? One. Elijah, he got a cool chariot ride. Gotta say, that's a cool way to go too. That's two. Everybody else got to die. I mean, really, this is just, but it was like, I want to go out like Enoch. You know, I mean, he walked with God and he was no more. It didn't even say he suffered. It was just like, but we've got to go through it. I mean, this is, you know, like I've said, everybody wants God to pick us up like a two-year-old when we get in trouble, pick us up out of the middle of the trouble, and go put us back in our playpen.
Andy, over the puddle.
That's it. Over the puddle. God said, pick me up. I heard somebody say this the other day. He said, we go to the world to run up debt, and then we go to Jesus to bail us out. Now I'm going to say that's not just financial debt. We run to the world to run up debt, and then we run to Jesus and go, help me, help me. We were watching this, Annie and I were watching this show, young man in Denver in prison for the first time. And he is begging Jesus. Now, he has taken a swing at a guard and been disrespectful and everything. And they're like, we're going to lock you up for another 60 days. And he says, Jesus, why have you left me? Oh, Jesus, what? You know, isn't that the truth? We go to the world to run up our debt, and then we want Jesus just to pick us up out of it and fix it for us. And sometimes he's only going to take us through something. He's not just going to pick us up over the top of it and let it go. He's going to take us through it for a very specific purpose. Look, at Jericho, they went around. They went around. They didn't go through the walls, right? It says they walked around the walls how many times? 13. You better know that. You're at Jericho Ministries. 13 times. 7 times. Once a day. For 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day. 13 times. So, anyway, just FYI. So you pass that quiz later. So, but they walked around. The big obstacle, the biggest, the most fortified city in the known world until that point. God walked them around, and then God moved the obstacle for them. Right? Now look, that happens. But at the Red Sea and at the Jordan, they had to go through the obstacle. Now, the first one, in the Red Sea, Moses had to hold his staff out to see the sea part. By the way, they didn't get to walk on top of it. God didn't just pick them up in the cloud, poof, other side, right? Well, he could have. Why didn't he? He wanted them to go through it. The Jordan River, he said, go through. And here go the priests. Oh, man, I hope when my sandal touches that, I don't drown. Because I'm carrying a giant golden ark, and I won't be able to swim with it. Waters parted. It says the waters piled up. That's pretty cool. The waters piled up. But they had to go through it. And sometimes, unless you're willing to go through it, you'll never get to the other side. Look, you can stand on the other side of the Red Sea and go, well, God, hello, why don't you just pick me up and take me over? Right?
That's right. That's right. Sometimes you have to be willing to go through it to get on the other side of it. And sometimes you have to be willing to go around it again and again and again and again. The walls of Jericho, huge obstacles, and they couldn't go through them. They just had to keep going around them again and again and again. And whether he has you going around something in faith, or whether he's saying you have to go through this in faith to get to the other side of this, it is going to take the exact same thing. It's going to take faith to endure. It said in the Bible, in the book of Timothy, we are going to have to pursue endurance. Here's what it means to endure. To endure means to continue to exist, to last. How many times when you've been going around the same thing, or you know you have to go through something, you're like, I just want to die. I just want to quit. I don't want to go one more step. I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, just take me home. And we pray to do the very thing we were never created to do, which is to die rather than live. Scripture says, I will live and not die.
Don't good Christians
and declare
say,
the wonders of God.
God said he'd never give me more than I can take, and I know it, I'm at the end. This is all I can take. Isn't that right? I look at this. That's how people are. I am at the end. I can't take anymore. You're probably not at the end. It feels like it. I mean, that's the truth. But continue to exist.
To last. To support adverse force or influence of any kind. Suffer without yielding, or to suffer patiently.
Woohoo! Come on.
To endure.
Come on. How many people want that one? Don't you shake your head, Leona. We are going to endure.
Endure. We're going to pursue endurance, which is we are going to pursue the ability to suffer without yielding, to suffer patiently against adverse force, to bear without resistance, to tolerate. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 through 13, here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us.
Uh-oh.
If we are faithless, he will remain faithful.
Amen.
For he cannot disown himself. 2 Timothy 2, can you put the reference back up there, babe, please? 2:11 through 13. Now, at Jericho, they had to have the faith to endure the same thing, knowing that in God's timing, a new thing was going to come. This great big obstacle. We're going to get up every day and we're going to face it one more time. We're going to look at it one more time. We're going to march it one more round, one more time. Monotony and boredom with the same obstacle. Lord, I'm tired of looking at those walls. Lord, do you think they're ever going to come down? Lord, really? What did they have to do? They had to have faith to endure, to get up, to last, to bear against the resistance, the mocking that was coming against them, and get up and go do it one more time. Anybody ever felt like that? I don't want to go one more time. I'd rather do anything than go one more time. And God's saying, one more time. I need you to endure this obstacle and walk around it one more time. You can't go through it. You can't bring it down. I need you to go around it one more time. It takes faith to endure sometimes monotony and boredom one more time.
Ridicule that they received from the people on the walls. I mean, oh, good battle plan, Lord. We're going to walk around while everybody mocks at us and spits at us and ridicules us. I mean, really? And we can't say anything. I think that was a good plan by God.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they'd have been going. Now, I want you to think about this. God didn't tell them, after you walk around this wall 13 times, I'm going to bring it down, and your enemy is going to die in front of you. Not a chance. That's what we want, though. God, if you will just tell me how long it's going to take, and how successful I'm going to be, then I'll take my part in this. Had a friend, she said, well, I know that I could do this. I said, you need to have faith. She said, I have faith. If God could just give me a map, it would make it a lot easier. I went, wait a minute, that's not faith if you have a map. That's dependence on you, because you're just going to follow that little map. Which is why God didn't say, I'm going to have you walk around this thing 13 times, and on the 13th time, trumpet's going to sound, and then you guys will go in and kill your enemy. Because after about the fourth time, people are like, it's stupid. Just God, just bring it down. I'm going to sit. You guys walk. Right? Because we would be dependent on ourselves. What he's trying to say is, be dependent upon him. That to continue around that same thing over and over and over until what? Until the new thing came. Until the new thing came, until the new thing happened. It took faith to endure. Why aren't we walking around these stupid walls? Why don't we build a siege wall, or why don't we get a catapult or something? Why don't we do something? Have the archers launch arrows in there? Anything? Instead, it took faith to endure. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep trusting. Because they had the faith to endure, they received what was on the other side. Amen? Amen? See, on the other side of what they were willing to continue to walk around, after they walked around those walls 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and the walls came down and the trumpets blew, it says, every man go straight up and slay everything in the city, and don't take anything out of this place. This is an offering unto God. Now, I mean, that's a new thing. That had never happened. God had never destroyed a city in front of his armies before. But he went to battle. He went to battle for them.
Now, at the two great crossings that we read about in the Word of God, they had to have faith to endure in going through something that they couldn't go around, which was the Jordan River and the Red Sea. They looked at both of those obstacles, and they looked impossible to cross, and truth be known, they were impossible to cross. And yet, when by faith they took their first step to begin to walk through what looked absolutely impossible to them, he got them through, step by step, through to the other side. Standing there and looking at it, it looked completely impossible. But God said, we can't go around this one, we're going to have to go through it. So you begin to take your first step. And as they took their first step, they began to be able to walk through what looked impossible to them. You look at what happened at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, their faith to endure, to walk through, got them away from their enemies that were pursuing them. The enemies of their past that were trying to take them back, the enemies of the present. Because they were willing to take a step and walk through what looked impossible, what happened was it got them to the other side of their enemies.
Simeon, until that time, they were just running.
Yep.
They were just fleeing the armies of Pharaoh. They just beat feet and they're headed out into the desert, right? And then they get the report, Pharaoh is pursuing us. Now look, until they crossed over, look, here's what Pharaoh was frustrated because he lost his own son. A lot of probably angry Egyptians who lost their firstborn. And he said, fine, just let them go. And then he thought about it. And it says God hardened his heart. What that means is he was full of himself. I'm going to get my slaves back. I'm going to build me something else. I'll do whatever I want. So he was going to go get those slaves and bring them back. I tell you, that's what your enemy wants to do. He wants to go back. When you've gotten free, there was miracles, 10 miracles. Some people call them plagues. I guess if you were one of the children of Israel who got let loose, they'd be miracles. And so he's got these 10 miracles that release the people, and then the enemy says, oh, no, you're coming back. I'm going to get you, and I'm going to drag you back. Now, how many times have you been standing with a pillar of fire and the cloud going, God is with us? And then somebody says, psst, your enemy's behind you. Ah! I hear it all the time. It's like supernatural miracles. And then it's like, Jezebel says she's going to kill you. Okay. I got to run. Because why? We get this thought. We've got to grab a hold of these things. Those who didn't have faith, I want you to think about this. What if people said, I can't cross over there, that water is scary. I don't want to walk through that. Well, what if that water comes down? What would have happened if they stayed on the other side? They'd have been slaves. What if they stopped halfway? They would have drowned.
With their enemies.
Really? But, yeah. I mean, it's an all or nothing proposition. You've got to go through this thing, all the way through this thing. You can't just stop. You can't just go, I'm scared. Some people want to stop and sightsee along. Ooh, look at the fish. God said, just keep going through. And it was a dividing point for them. Because if somebody stayed back, they were dead, one way or the other. Either Pharaoh would kill them, take them back as slaves, or they die halfway in the middle and drowned. Right? That's a choice. That's a dividing line.
Mm-hmm. They were either going to, if they'd have stayed back, they would have died with their enemies, or they would have been enslaved to them again, one or the other. But those who cross over, it was the point to where they got on the other side of their enemies. Enemies that had been either holding them or pursuing them for a very long time. At the Jordan, it got them on the other side of their wilderness. It got them on the other side of wandering. They had been in the wilderness. They had been wandering for a long time. A lot of people had died there. And when they crossed over, that's what it got them out of. That's what they came on the other side of. You know, when they were in the wilderness, when they were in that time of wandering, there was so much that happened there. There's a lot of miracles that happened there. There was a lot of failures that happened there. There was great provision that happened there. There was times of great desperation and poverty. They learned how to lean on God. They learned how to fear God. They learned how to fall and rise up again with God. But when they were willing to cross over, they were willing to walk away from the land of wandering and the land of wilderness into this new thing that he had for them. It was a place of purpose. It was a place they were purposed to be. It was a place they were purposed to go. It's a place that a lot of what happened in the wilderness prepared them to go and to do. It was God's fulfillment and plan for their life to cross over, but they could have chosen to stay. They could have said, but I know the wilderness and I know the wandering and it's not a lot of fun, but it's what I know. Or you can take one step and you can begin to cross over and get on the other side of the wilderness and the wandering and into the next place of purpose that God has for you.
See, either on the Red Sea or the Jordan, if they remained on that other side, you know what was on that side? Sure death. Sure death. Remember the children of Moses who hesitated to cross over? Who went, oh, we should stay here. Remember what was on that side? Death. That generation passed away, except for Caleb and Joshua. That entire generation passed away because they refused to cross over, to go through it. So when Joshua's generation came, he said, we're going through it. Now, on this, I want you to think about this. The wilderness was death. On the other side of the Red Sea was death. Now, read your Bible. You read that two of the tribes had found their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan River. They didn't have to cross the Jordan River. Except that God said, you go in with your brethren until they find peace as you have.
That's right.
So look, sometimes we got to go through something, and it's not for us.
Right.
It has nothing to do with us. You're like, but that's not fair, God. Thank God. Sometimes you're the one that needs to go across the Jordan River, and praise God that he says, Leona, I want you to go too. But my stuff's over here. Okay, I'll go. Why? Because you asked me to. And then in that, they found life. They found life. Those two tribes had stayed on this side, I don't think they'd have been successful. To stay in the land that they'd already received, and I don't believe that the children of Israel who went into the land would have been successful either. Because God called them all together. Life was only found on the other side. The fulfillment of everything was found on the other side. Like that gentleman on The Biggest Loser, he had to go through. He had to go through it. He said, to get through it, this is what he told himself, keep your faith and lose your quit. Amen. Keep your faith and lose your quit. I'm going to tell you what, I bet, you know, I've thought about the children of Israel wandering in the desert and having gone through the Red Sea and all those things, and I used to think pretty badly about them. Good Lord, you had God with you. Pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, you know. What's wrong with you? How come you didn't get it? Until you've walked a little while with God. And then you're like, hey, they did pretty good. They didn't mess up as many times as I do, right? See, look, we got to stop our quit. Because like I said, the enemy says, boo. And we're like, I failed. I give up. It's too much. It's too hard. No, we got to keep going. Because on the other side, on that 13th time around, you're going to find the promise, which is endure. We must endure, right?
You know, he was 460 pounds and $45,000 in debt. And he said, I would love for God to have just made it all go away.
He worked three jobs.
But he said, you know what? God got me through it. And I had to keep the faith, and I had to lose my quit. And I'm going to tell you, his $45,000 and his 460 pounds is no bigger or no less than any of the other things that God has called any one of you or us to go around or go through. They all feel sometimes just as weighty, just as difficult. The crossing looks just as impossible. Going around it one more time feels just as ridiculous, which I believe is one of the reasons God said that you need to stick together. Because why? He said, you need to go back and you need to help your brothers. What was that all about? Encouragement. Come on, it's worth it. You know, I know it looks scary, but I'm going to tell you what, the walls, they're not going to fall on you. I'm going to tell you the water, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to crash down around you. It's okay. You know what? I've been to the other side, and I'll help you get there too. Why? So that we would encourage one another, so we'd know we could make it together. One of the things, like we talked about, we're going to have to pursue. If this is the year of pursuit, then we're going to have to pursue to endure. That's one of the first things. We are going to have to learn how to endure, because without faith to endure, only death awaits us. Without faith to endure, only death awaits us. Here's the last definition of to endure. And I want you to think about this as a Christian, as you hear this last definition of endure.
To have or gain continued or lasting acknowledgement or recognition as of worth, merit, or greatness.
Say it one more time for those who are writing it down, because she doesn't have it up there.
To have or gain continued or lasting acknowledgement or recognition as of worth, merit, or greatness. To endure. If we hold on, we are going to gain continued or lasting acknowledgement or recognition. We're going to finish. You're going to finish. That's the key. As of worth, merit, or greatness. If we endure to the end, who's glorified? You and me?
Nope. No. God in me, the hope of glory.
It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is not I, but He. It's not. How did you manage this? I have no idea. All I know is I just kept walking, and one day, here I was. Caleb continued walking into the promised land. He fought battle after battle after battle. And after a while, he finally said, hey, wait a minute. I remember something. That's my mountain. Moses promised me that mountain. I want my mountain now. By the way, God didn't go, Caleb, you've been faithful. You fought all these battles. You're the only one who believed with Joshua. You're such a great guy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to drop the giants dead on the mountain so that you don't have to battle them. Now here's Caleb, 80 years old, and God said, okay, it's yours. And 80-year-old Caleb goes up to fight the Anakim, who were the sons of Anak, who were the brothers of Goliath. And there were three of them on his mountain. And David was a young man, full of vigor. And here's 80-year-old Caleb going, there's only three of them? Let's go. I'm going to walk through them because that's mine. I am going to endure. I have gotten here. I have survived battles. I've survived fights. I've gotten through all of this. I've gotten through the rebellion of a generation that died around me. I am not going to quit until I get my mountain, which is my heritage for my children, for my grandchildren. That's it.
As you endure to the end, God gets the glory and you get the crown of life. That's the bottom line. That's why you endure. Because then God gets the glory and you get the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer.
Wait a minute.
Underline that in your Bible. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. In other words, God is promising you suffering is coming. You think you're suffering now? He said, okay, well, I'll get you through that, but I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid of the more suffering that comes. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you.
Woohoo!
And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be
Woo-hoo!
Faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give you the crown of life. Endure to the end, and God gets the glory, and you get the crown of life. Amen? You need to pursue faith to endure for the sake of the one who endured all for you. Amen? In Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When you are at the end, at the end, at the end, and you're like, God, I can't endure anymore. I'm tired. I'm where Elijah was at. I just want to quit. Every time I turn around, I'm facing more. Consider Christ, who suffered far more for you. Consider Christ, who endured everything so that you could endure some things. Consider Christ, and it'll give you the strength to rise up and endure all for Christ. Endure so that you can stand before Him and hear Him say this to you. More than well done, thy good and faithful servant, this is what I want Christ to say to me. Beth, you persevered.
Revelation 2:3.
And you've endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Don't you want Him to be able to say that about you? Now, I'm telling you, if Jesus can say that about you, that's some bragging rights. Yes. You know what? Kimmy, you persevered. Beck, you persevered. You endured hardships for my name, Amanda. Liz, you have not grown weary in it. Let's endure by faith that Jesus can say that about you, Val. And when you've had it all and you're all done and you're like, I know where this is going, and I see the suffering that's coming, and I don't want to do it anymore. Consider Christ, who endured the more, so that you can endure the some. and count it all glory for him.
Look, we have a promise.
Amen.
Remember? I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. Woohoo! Who wants the promises of Jesus? And you will suffer persecution. This is easy. Only for 10 days. Hello? Do this standing on your head. Be faithful, even to the point of
death. And I will give you
the crown of life.
That's a nice exchange, Jake.
Now look.
It's a good exchange.
A quick thought for you. If he, being sinless, put himself in the hands of sinful men, if he, being without a sin to punish, and you being sinful, so if he went to the cross without a true charge, with no reason, and he was willing to lay his life down. See, one of the thieves on the cross mocked him. And one of the thieves on the cross says, "We are here justly. We have found ourselves here justly, which means we are sinful men and we have been found guilty. And this is our punishment." That's what we need to take into this. When we find ourselves in suffering, Lord, you did this and you were innocent. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And what I deserve is much less than grace. What I deserve is the wages of sin, which is death. But the free gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. And so when we get to that, I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel a little sorry for yourself. God, you see how much I've suffered. You see how unjustly I've suffered. Really? Come on, I'm a nice person. Blah, blah, blah. Come on now. Am I talking to the right crew? We got to say, okay, Lord, but for you, put yourself in the hands of sinful men willingly so that I could be free. Is a slave greater than his master? Should we not put ourselves in the hands of sinful men, even if that's what we deserve, and trust God's grace and mercy in the midst of it? Because he already paid the price. We're not throwing ourselves down on a sword. We're throwing ourselves on the mercy seat.
Amen.
We're not committing suicide. We are committing ourselves to the cross. See, there's a difference. When we put ourselves in the hand of an almighty Savior, then we can trust that. We don't have to do it on ourselves. He will empower us to endure to the end and receive the crown of life. Amen? How many of you would like to run a 26-mile marathon and quit at 25 miles, 5,275 feet, 5 feet short of the finish line? Then let us endure to the end. Lord Jesus, Father, we come to pursue endurance. Lord God, to suffer patiently. To suffer, Lord God, at the hands of a world that is against you. For we know that in you we have all sufficiency, Lord. We are filled in you. The enemy cannot take from us the promises that are yours. The enemy cannot steal from us life which you have given to us. So, Lord, help your people to endure, to run the good race, to fight the good fight, Lord. Father, to endure, for our hope is in you. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. Stand up on your feet as we close in worship. And if you need strength to endure, then the altar is open to you tonight.
Bless the Lord.